saints of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. For to be desired are they and gold, given much by gold. Sweeter also than honey.
To exhort you this evening with faith, and I felt impressed. He was showing that because we now walk by faith and we've committed our lives, we put our hands to the plow, we're walking by day with the Lord. It was as though he was impressing, too late for doubting, too late for doubting. And I think that it is, even though we may be at times doubting, the point is it's too late to believe those doubts or the enemy's lies and suggestions. Because we're on this walk, I think we're very clear that God's made no mistake and that he has not changed in his delivery over the years, the deeper life teaching. He constantly is with us, reminding us, teaching us to hold on to these promises, to walk by faith, whatever it looks like, because we know that we take it day by day and we cannot look back because that is all history. We walk this day with the Lord. And whatever will pertain with regard to our faith. And you know, that is a wonderful blessing because it takes so much of the pressure, condemnation away. How the enemy likes to condemn us that we don't really believe the word, we don't really believe these promises, your life doesn't match up to it, and so on. But God has shown us that those who walk by faith walk this day. And what tomorrow holds is in God's grace and mercy. It's what we do today. It's what we do now. It's what we do as we hear the word of God and as he speaks life into our spirit. So we're calling it too late for doubting. And one of the clear signs that we are waxing bolder and stronger in the faith is with regard to God's promises. You see, many Christians still argue and bicker over the word. They argue over the promises. They use such terms as, well, those promises were right in those days, but times are different now. We live in a different culture and generation. Our whole environment is completely different. It's not like the early days and the days of Christ. This is generally the concept and thinking of a lot of Christendom. A lot of them may not say that exactly like that, but it's how they act. It's how they think. And you know, God has been doing that with you and I. He has been delivering us from the spirit of this age that gets us to think and act like that. You see, when you get in the Word where it says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, you then can't excuse those sort of statements. And so we find that we come back to the Word and to these promises that never change. Let's turn to Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 23. Hebrews 10, verses 19 to, well, we'll take it to 25, verse 25. 19 to 25, Hebrews 10. And here it's all about holding on to our confession. Whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, however life looks, whatever situation I'm in, we hold on to the Word of God. This is very commendable in God's eyes, that we're not swayed by the world and its opinions and the generation and time that we live in, but that we are still influenced and believe and hold on to these promises, and we make it our confession. And this is what it says here. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So let's just stop there. It's telling us that through Christ, through the giving up of himself, through Christ divesting himself of God, taking on human form, coming as a servant, it says that he consecrated himself for us. That is, in the flesh. He set himself apart. He didn't get involved in the world, in politics, all those things that were going on then at his time. He was set apart for the task that God his Father had for him. Through the veil, that is his flesh, because he consecrated himself, because he was to give up his flesh unto death. And that is the reason why he consecrated himself for this purpose. And what was the result of him doing that? It placed him as a high priest over the house of God. The priesthood has now changed. The high priest, if you like, over the hidden church in the wilderness, which was the children of Israel called out under Moses from Egypt, from bondage, he was their high priest over them. He was in many ways God to them, mediator between God and man. And it says that has now changed. We now have a high priest over the house of God. Who is this high priest? He is Jesus, who has shed his blood, who has divested himself. He consecrated himself, that through his flesh, the giving up, the lamb slain from the world, we now have a new high priest. So we're not only called a royal priesthood, but he says through this new priesthood that we have, who's over his house, his body, church, he says with that, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. So you have to have a heart that is true, honest, upright, not a heart that is deceitful, just going through the motions or whatever. No, it says that we draw near to God with a heart in full assurance of faith. Faith in what? Faith not only in our new birth, what Christ has done for me, but my faith is in God's word and his promises. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So the conscience is very much part of our assurance, our boldness coming by faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. And what is the pure water? It's the word of God. This is why we hold on. And we hold on to the promises, because it gives me that assurance of faith. It helps me to walk each day, trusting God. Whatever it looks like, however I feel, whatever news I've heard, whatever the enemy's trying to do to trip me up or beguile me or seduce me, doesn't matter. I draw near in full assurance of faith, because the word of God through the blood of the Lamb sprinkles, it cleanses, it works on my conscience, it makes me sensitive towards God spiritually. And that is very important if we walk with God and we stand on the promises of God. Our conscience must be sensitive, because the world out there who rejects Christ, who turns away from him, their consciences are becoming seared, defiled. Read Romans chapter 1. That is what we are seeing now in the world, in society, in governments. We are seeing the conscience becoming seared, defiled, no longer aware or conscious of God or the fear of God, or whatever it would be. That is why it's such fearful times that we're living in now. They no longer are God conscious. They are totally obsessed with themselves, open to the powers of darkness. And he says through all of this, let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. What does he mean by holding on without wavering? Exactly what the title tells us today, too late for doubting. There's no point doubting, there's no point entertaining it. I've walked too long with the Lord. I've gone too far. All the bridges are burnt. It's only one way. And whatever we encounter, whatever the news is, I hold on without wavering, because I've settled it. Not feel like it. I may feel a million miles away from God. I may feel the most unspiritual Christian that walks on the earth, but it doesn't change what he says. I choose to confess that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world, because he promised. He is faithful. Even if I'm not, he is. And I choose to believe that faithfulness working on my life, because God first loved me. That's why. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, which is exactly what we're doing this evening. We're stirring one another up so that this produces the works of faith in your life, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So our assembling, our meeting, our coming together is all connected with our faith, our holding fast, confessing, entering in into the presence of the Lord. Jesus, who is our high priest, he now that is head over us, all of that is for our faith to walk each day in it. We're really going to tell you what God is doing, if we don't already. Because God doesn't get it wrong. And that is why you've got professing believers who really know little about fellowship, assembling, coming together. They go from church to church, ministry to ministry, never growing in the faith, their confession never changing. They're all around us, and it's tragic. You see, we have to do it God's way if we are to have a faith that will stand and endure in these last days. And here in these verses from 19 to 25 tells us how we stand and will stand by faith. Because the word of God does that work, that cleansing, that washing. It keeps us in the presence of God. It keeps us under this high priest so that we can function as God's royal priesthood, which we are. I'm reminded of Abraham and Sarah. They believed in the promises of God, as we read in chapter 11 and verse 11. It says, by faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. So look what her faith, staying with it, believing, not diverting, not changing. It says that she received strength to conceive. She needed to conceive strength. She was way, way past childbearing. Look what it did. Look what the word of God did. The word of God strengthened her. The word of God made her youthful, renewed her youth like the eagles. That is my confession every morning before I get out of bed. I thank the Lord this day. He renews my youth like the eagles. And by his stripes I was healed at Calvary. I want to hear myself confess that. Are these your confessions, your belief? Because you're lining it up with the word of God, what he says about you. Doesn't matter whether you've got some aches and pains. Sometimes I get out of bed and boy, the aches and pains, but it doesn't change. If God did it for Sarah and Abraham, he does it for us because we are of his seed. He's promised. It's not you have promised or I promise to you. I can't do that. I don't have that authority. But I can believe and present to you what God says he will do. And there's the difference. And she judged him faithful. Or in other words, she counted him faithful. Because God's delays persuaded her. The delays believing for this child tested her. She had to go through those delays. Abraham had to go through the delay, waiting all those years. That is what persuaded them, influenced them. It had to take that. That's the wisdom and mind of God, working the promises from the head to the heart. That is why God has your life and my life in complete control, and every day he is working through your life, through your circumstances, to get this word from your head to your heart. That is what he's doing. And he'll do it because he is faithful. That's why it's too late for doubting. We've gone too far. We've walked too far in all of this. And I thank the Lord for this. But the delays of faith tested them and worked that confession in them that God was faithful. You see, often God works this assurance through the trials and the tests. And this is why often promises are fulfilled through delays. We're all waiting for promises to manifest, to be seen. And the very delays are working that in you. Now see that, brothers and sisters. Stop doubting that. Stop changing your confession. Well, it didn't work. Maybe God didn't hear me. And, you know, it's been so many years now. No, take it back. Keep confessing. Keep believing. Keep thanking God. Your family depends on this for their salvation, if you love them. And I could just go on with all these promises. And that's why you have to have God's word with the experience. And this is where you experience it. Exactly in these verses 19 to 25. We are experiencing right now in our fellowship as God is addressing us. This is our experience from him, God. He doesn't get it wrong, brothers and sisters. What does it say in Hebrews 5, verses 1 to 9? Hebrews 5, verses 1 to 9. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. Because of this he is required, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer sacrifices for sins. And no man takes this honor to himself, that he who is called by God, just as Aaron was, so also Christ did not glorify himself to become the high priest, but it was he who said to him, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." And there we are. He's become our high priest after the order of Melchizedek, in order to work with our confession, our boldness, to enter into his presence. That is his ministry. This is exactly what he's doing right now as he encourages us not to give up. It's too late. You've gone too far in all of this. Thank God for this. And you see, to trust him and obey him, you have to know his faithfulness. And this is where he's going to prove himself. And he is proving himself. Because we all know, naturally, this cannot work and should not work. It does. And that's what makes it miraculous. It's miraculous because we still say amen to the word. We still get excited about the word and when it's ministered to us, encouraging us, quickening us in the faith. That is the miraculous work of the Spirit of God working on your behalf and my behalf. Thank God. And we have to decide whether it's circumstances or it's the promises of God. That is what we have to decide. Am I going to believe my circumstances? And am I going to believe the reports? Am I going to believe what the doctor says about me? Or whoever it is who criticizes me, are you going to believe that? Because at times we do. Or are you going to come back to what God says and what his word says? Every day, Sarah, Abraham were getting older outwardly. Old age was taking over as it does because that is what sin has done in the world. But God was doing a work in the inner man. In the heart, renewing their youth like the eagles, strengthening them, ready in which to receive that promise that he had given to them years before, that they would have a son. They had to wait for the appointed time. And we, all of us, have to learn this one. God is sovereign. You will not rush him. He appointed time for each of us. And that is why we see with Revelation 12 of the man-child in the womb of the woman, the church, there is an appointed time in which he will manifest this to this groaning creation. That is the next great event to take place in the church. Most of that is hid from Christendom. Most do not have a clue with regard to what God is going to do. Few understand Romans 8, particularly where it speaks about the release of groaning creation. You will seldom ever hear it ever taught or preached today. Why? Because it's hid. It's for an appointed time. And God will reveal to the world, to the church, to the foolish virgins that didn't make it, he will reveal these saviors to the world who trusted in the promises of God. And they will be a great encouragement and help to the church as it goes through the deep valley of persecution in its history, because the Antichrist will come with great wrath and vengeance against her. And as I have said so many times, none of us wish to be around when that happens. And God, in his grace and mercy, as he's showing to the Philadelphian church that way of escape, And that is why we have to let God do that work. I don't know how he is going to get us ready. I don't know how in the natural the bride makes herself ready, how we come to that place. That really, in a sense, is not for you or me to actually work out, but to know that God is faithful, and that work with his, which he hath begun in me, he will complete and finish at the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all I wish to know and confess and walk in. He will do the rest. Too late for doubting. We're not to entertain them anymore, these doubts, questioning, why is it not happening? Why am I not healed yet? Why has my prayers not been answered? Why is it my husband isn't saved yet? Or my son or daughter? All these questions, all these things that stare us in the eyes, and how vocal the enemy is. How he likes to say, look, you see, nothing's changed. If anything, they're worse. They're even further away from Almighty God. They're not interested in faith, your walk, your confession, your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to know. It's all around us. You don't have to look for it. It's there. That God doesn't change. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. It's not hard to confess what God says in his word. The devil cannot control you and change your confession unless you let him. It is not difficult. However you feel, whatever you see, whatever the circumstances, I choose to hold on my confession over this, because this is what God has promised. Settle it and move on, because it's too late for doubting. We're too far. We've walked too much in the wilderness under the banner of Jesus Christ. We've experienced too much. We've seen what the enemy is up to and what he's doing. We've seen the giant land, and we know we're well able to take them through our prayers, intercessions and warfare, pushing back the powers of darkness. These are the things that God has been working with us over these years. That's why flesh and blood cannot reveal these things. It only comes by the Spirit, by the Word of God. So there we are, brothers and sisters, just a short exhortation today to help to encourage you to continue to march on, press on, take it each day, and just confess, hold on to it. And who knows, tomorrow may be the big day for manifestation. Let's have that expectant faith, and no more those doubts, questions, or whatever it will be in our minds. Let's cast them down, cast them away. They're nothing but a hindrance, and they rob you of your peace. God loves us, and he's made no mistake. Let him work his glory, his name, his promises through each one of us and through FGA. Because as I say, this isn't about you. It is about him. It is about his glory and what he has promised. Heavenly Father, thank you for this word of encouragement. Thank you, Lord, helping us. Thank you for showing us, Lord, it's too late to doubt. We walked too long with you. We've gone too far, and we thank you for that. We simply need to be reminded and come back to hold on to our confession, to believe without wavering, whatever the situation. Because, Lord, you're using the trials, you're using the situation, you're using those things that we see, you're using the enemy that tries to put the doubts and fears into our hearts. You are using all of that in which to get us to stand firm with boldness. Lord, we cannot lose at all in this. And we thank you, Father. We thank you because you first loved us and you've chosen and called us before the foundation of the world, that we might come forth in these last days, revealing the greater works for the glory of God. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.